to the doctor. Doctor said, friend, this should be the middle, but it could be the end. You better get better.
This is Ken Logan and the Doctor's Inn. I'm a family practice doctor here in Chico, and my goal of this show, the third Thursday of every month, is to bring subjects up in the realm of health and medical, in the medical world, issues that I think affect us as individuals and the community as a whole. And I am interested in having input from you, the listener, relative to medical or health issues that you'd like me to have on the show or discuss on the show, any guests you'd like me to bring to the show. To contact me, it's probably best to email me at klogan.md@yahoo.com. That's klogan.md@yahoo.com. The opinions voiced on this show do not necessarily represent the views or opinions of KZFR, its staff, board of directors, underwriters, or volunteers. The Doctor's Inn is made possible by the generous contributions of you, the listeners, KZFR members, and by Friends of the Arts, a state local partner to the California Arts Council. Since 2001, Friends of the Arts has been creating economic opportunity through arts and culture by producing community festival and events including Artoberfest, Chico Paleo, the True North Tour, the Silent Film Festival, the NorCal Jazz Festival, the Salmon Festival, and more. To learn about Friends of the Arts, visit friendsoftheartsupstate.org. And by the NorCal Jazz Festival, presenting clarinet and saxophone virtuosos Will and Peter Anderson on Friday, November 6th at the Red Bluff Performing Arts Center. Called the Future of Jazz by Quincy Jones, Will and Peter perform originals and standards from the Benny Goodman era of jazz. Visit norcaljazzfestival.com for details and tickets. Like us on Facebook or call 520-4742 for more information. The NorCal Jazz Festival is a project of Friends of the Arts. Well, today's show, we are fortunate to have someone as a guest who was actually here last month as well, and that is Dr. Elizabeth Zemecki, a doctor of naturopathic medicine here in Chico. Hello, Dr. Zemecki.
Hello, Dr. Logan.
Now, last month, we talked to you about who you were and what a naturopathic doctor is, and about your training and your specific areas of training. Today, what we didn't talk about last month was kind of your take on health and advice on healthy living and prevention of chronic disease, etc. Mm-hmm. And you being a naturopathic doctor and me being a medical doctor, I know I would like to hear where you're where you're at. And I think the listeners would like to hear where you're at too.
Fair enough, yeah.
Let me just start by reintroducing what a naturopathic doctor is. So your title is an ND or naturopathic doctor.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. And I am an MD or a medical doctor. Mm-hmm. I want the listeners to know that most of the providers, healthcare providers in the United States, in our state and in our town, are likely to be a medical doctor, MD, or a DO, a doctor of osteopathic medicine. However, there are healthcare providers that are NDs. They're doctors of naturopathic medicine. And that's what you are.
This is very true. There are those of us out there, yes.
And there's not a lot of you out there, but welcome to Chico.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you. And so tell us about your tell us about health and tell us where you're coming from. Give us a rundown.
Sure. Okay. Let's see here. Well, you know, I kind of touched on a couple things very briefly last time I was here. So I wanted to go back and kind of finish addressing those areas that we'd started talking about in a little more detail. And the first one is one that's very frequently on a lot of people's minds. It's one you hear about a lot, and that is nutrition and diet. And I had mentioned last time, you know, that, you know, of course, these are general recommendations. So this is for people who are, you know, in generally good health. And, you know, that said, even people with chronic health conditions can benefit from the recommendations, these kind of general tips and tools that, and resources that I will be talking about today. So just to put that out there.
Sure.
So, you know, there are lots of different diets that you hear talk of out in the public. And kind of one of the ones that I consider to be the most universally applicable and doable for people is really eating a whole foods diet. And that means eating food that is the closest to how it came into the world in its natural form. So, you know, that means, you know, eating fresh fruits and vegetables. That means eating whole grains. That means eating whole dairy products if you're going to be eating dairy products. And the same thing goes for meat. So minimally processed is kind of the way to go, as much as possible. This applies to legumes, nuts, and seeds as well. So all of these things in their, you know, most whole form. So eating the whole bean rather than, you know, soybean extract that's wrapped up into some cracker or I don't know what all else. There's all kinds of things you can find on the shelves that the food manufacturing and production companies are coming up with all the time. And while they may taste good, they're not necessarily very nutritious for us. And our body has a harder time metabolizing them. There's also lots of extra stuff in there that is generally not very beneficial. Some of the more common things that some listeners may have been hearing about in the last number of years, trans fatty acids is a big one. It's a particular kind of fat that tends to be basically more harmful. It's more it's more of a pro-oxidant, right? So it sets us up for cell mutation and cell change, I should say, really, that can lead the way in the direction of cancerous cells. And you know, we all, as human beings, we all make cancerous cells all the time. People maybe don't realize this. I think it's something that isn't really known in the public at large. I certainly didn't know it before I was in medical school. And, you know, we're always making these cells, but our bodies are really well primed to be able to address those, you know, cellular changes that happen on small levels all the time in our bodies and be able to kind of clear those cells out and get rid of them, as long as we provide our body with the proper nutrition and we're getting adequate sleep. Sleep is something we'll talk about a little bit later in terms of other health recommendations and general tips. But, you know, there are things that our bodies can deal with. And cancer is something that has been around. We've seen cases of cancer for centuries. We think of it as being this modern issue. And it is because of the way that we live our lives. We don't get good nutrition. We don't exercise sufficiently. We're chronically stressed. And we don't sleep enough. I mean, these are some of the big problems in our epidemic of chronic disease, whether it's cancer, cardiovascular disease, obesity, diabetes, and the list goes on from there. So
our bodies can deal with some of these things naturally, and over thousands of years we've developed that ability, but we have to have our body has to have the tools,
exactly.
Has to be able to do its work.
Right. We have
adequately.
To, yes. We have to give it the tools it needs in order to function optimally.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we're pretty amazing creatures, really. We have, like you said, evolved biologically over time to be able to handle these processes where cellular change happens. This is just one example. I mean,
yeah.
It's true of detoxification too. I mean, you hear sometimes about people doing detoxes, and that can be something that's relevant, to do kind of a more specific detoxification process, because of everything that we get exposed to in our daily lives, in the modern world. But that said, I think there's a lot to be said for just optimizing what our bodies are able to do in terms of detoxification naturally. I mean,
day to day,
mm-hmm. Our livers are really critical to that, as mm-hmm. I mean, our skin, people don't often think about our skin being a way that we detoxify, but it's, the largest detoxification organ of the whole body, surface area wise. And so it plays a big role. But we detoxify through our kidneys with excreting urine, anything we excrete. So stool, saliva, urine, sweat, tears, those are all kind of considered to be routes of detoxification. Anyway, I'm going off on a tangent here about this, but the point
is very good to hear.
The point is, I guess, our bodies are capable of keeping us in good health and from healing from chronic disease, but we have to give our bodies the right tools.
Mm-hmm.
So that comes back to diet. So we're going to go back to the diet.
Mm-hmm.
I mentioned eating a whole foods diet and minimizing processed foods, minimizing sugars. And sugar doesn't only come in the forms that we think of it, in cakes and candies and cookies, but also in refined grains, so refined flour, so white flour, white pasta, all of these things that our palates are quite well adjusted to in modern life, but they really wreak havoc on our bodies in terms of our blood sugar and, are a big factor in kind of this obesity and diabetes epidemic that we're having. And, there's an increasing understanding of how this is linked to cardiovascular disease as well, and not just kind of the issues with cholesterol levels and fats that have been the target from medicine's perspective, conventionally speaking, at least for the last number of decades. We're starting to understand more and more that sugar is really playing a role in that, in kind of some of these pro-inflammatory states that set people up for cardiovascular disease. So,
You bring up you talked about cholesterol, and the first thing that hit me was, it's something that I'm going to talk about later, maybe at the next show, a month from now, is the pharmaceutical industry and the drugs. Hearing you talk about a whole foods diet and the importance of minimum processed type foods to get the entirety of the nutrition from it and give your body the tools to stay healthy,
mm-hmm.
including to keep those cancer cells from multiplying. Because like you said, we all have little cancer cell things all the time, and our immune system fights
sure.
them off
mm-hmm.
If it has the tools. I think it made me think of the processed foods that taste so good and that, and I'm thinking, well, that's the industry. There's an industry that makes a lot of money off of processed foods, of course. And that's what we get bombarded with by advertising, and when we go to the supermarket or wherever we mm-hmm. go, and from children up to through adults, mm-hmm. we get bombarded with that. But the whole foods, the farmers who grow in their gardens organic foods are not bombarding us on television, you know what I mean?
Not typically, no.
No, it's we're getting all that information bombarded, and the same is true with pharmaceutical industry and the cholesterol issue mm-hmm. that you just brought up. But
yeah. Well,
I'll get back to that in another time.
Sure, I think it's a great discussion topic.
Well, whole foods.
Yeah, and I just wanted to mention to add on to that about the processed foods, you know, our taste buds are accustomed to that. We, you know, from early ages in most cases.
Get accustomed to that,
We become accustomed to this, and you know, we're accustomed to excess salt, excess sugar. And if we don't have those two in particular, high fats sometimes, and usually not healthy fats in the processed foods, all those things, we're kind of used to that. Our taste buds become accustomed to that. And so when we eat foods that don't have those things in them, you know, when we start, if we've been eating a processed food diet our whole lives, or most of it, or for the last number of years, and then we switch over and try and eat, you know, some broccoli with some steamed fish or something like that, it's not going to taste very good in comparison, because our taste buds aren't, they're accustomed to being overstimulated all the time, which is kind of true of all of our beings in this modern world. And so it's just, it's so foreign to us that it's really hard for people to make that switch sometimes. I worked for a little brief stint while I was in medical school at a fasting clinic down in Santa Rosa, which is a really fascinating place. It's called the True North Health Center, if anyone's ever interested in checking it out. And, you know, in working with people at this center, which was an inpatient clinic, so people would go there and do medically supervised water-only fasting. You know, this was to kind of jumpstart the healing process for people with a variety of issues. But really, it also came down to, you know, how do you maintain a change in your diet and your lifestyle over the long term? And that was something that was discussed in some of the classes that they would have for their patients there, was how much our taste buds are used to all of these things.
Programmed.
And it really, it takes time, you know, our cellular turnover in our tongues for our taste buds to change. It can, not to mention our brain chemistry kind of readapting. So if anybody's out there thinking about switching to kind of a more whole foods-based diet, just keep that in mind. Be patient with yourself.
Be patient with yourself,
Yes. It's a big task.
And you said the word brain, and it made me think, I like to encourage people I tell patients, be wise with what you eat. Think about what you're putting in your mouth and into your body. Don't just go with what's pushed in front of you or what's advertised in front of you and what carrot is waved. Well, not carrots, maybe not a good example, but what little thing is waved in front of your face. But use your brain. Think about what you're putting in your body. I even say to people, hey, what do you feed your dog? You know, do you care about what you feed your dog and your cat? Do you pay attention to it? Do you make sure they're eating food that you think is healthy for them, or do you give them just junk food? You know, well, you don't like to give them junk food. You don't think it's healthy for them, but yet we do it for ourselves. Wait a minute, that doesn't make sense.
Well, and you know, in addition to the marketing that you've talked about, one of the big reasons that this is such an issue is convenience.
Good point.
You know, and I completely understand. It's not easy to make this or any kind of lifestyle decision that I'll be talking about today with you, because it takes time and it takes effort and it takes dedication. Excuse me. And, you know, and we lead these increasingly busy, stressed lives all the time. And, you know, placing value on cooking your own food, and spending money on food also that that is you know, whole foods, preferably organic, preferably local. There's much higher nutrient value there with both of those, when both of those things are also true of the foods. It takes a lot for people to do that, and it's hard to fit that in. It's really a reprioritizing though. And I think another important thing with around diet is that we rush while we're eating. You know, we're eating and we're you know, eating while we drive, we're eating while we work, and it's really actually not good for our health at all. And I understand, I'm guilty of it too.
Me too.
It's finding the time and finding the way to balance your life is one of those kind of ongoing things, and you know, when we eat when we're rushing and when we're driving, et cetera, we're typically, you know, we sometimes people are aware of this idea of fight or flight syndrome, or mm-hmm. not syndrome, but state.
Mm-hmm.
And this is this idea that when our nervous system is priming us to be basically running from a predator or fighting a predator. So mm-hmm. this goes back to, you know, mm-hmm. our ancestors. And so when we're in this kind of state, we're not able to digest our food easily. The other kind of opposite state, if you will, is referred to as rest and digest. And that's associated with the parasympathetic state, which is kind of the more calm, relaxed state of your being. And the fight or flight is the sympathetic state. And so these are in reference to kind of what's going on with, your neurology, your mm-hmm. physiology. Mm-hmm. It changes everything that's happening.
Mm-hmm.
You know, really, when you're in a fight or flight state, you're in the mode of survival.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not a time to be digesting your food mm-hmm. at all. You're busy running from a tiger or a bear or whatever mm-hmm. it is. So when we're driving or we're working and we're not taking time to sit down and eat and just
relax.
Focus on that and
mm-hmm.
relax with our food, we are, you know, our blood is not in
our belly, our intestines. It's going to our muscles and our brain and whatever.
For us to run and react, and that's
mm-hmm.
it. So it really sets up people for, you know, potentially for digestive issues long term,
mm-hmm.
Not to mention just, you know, not absorbing your nutrients very well,
mm-hmm.
And just kind of perpetuating the kind of chronically stressed state that we're mm-hmm. in, which is that we're seeing people in this fight or flight state mm-hmm. ongoing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that I wanted to kind of touch on later, mm-hmm. but I'll just mention it now since mm-hmm. we're talking about it. And that's stress management
mm-hmm.
is something that I think is a huge thing that people need to be thinking about working
mm-hmm.
with if they feel like they are experiencing a lot of stress in their lives. Now, stress is something that, you know, we all go through. I mean, it's part of what motivates us to act and make change in our life or accomplish things. So stress in and of itself isn't, there's nothing wrong with it inherently. It's the fact that we are kind of chronically stressed and making mountains out of molehills. And we, you know, our bodies are thinking that we are running from a bear all the time, mm-hmm. even when we're just stuck in traffic, which we mm-hmm. do, you know,
often.
Luckily not too often around here in mm-hmm. Chico, thankfully, but that kind of thing, we're doing that often. And there's a really interesting book that has always been on my to read list, and I thought I'd share this title with listeners because it might be a nice resource for them. And it's called Why Zebras Don't Get Ulcers.
Oh.
And mm-hmm. the author's name is Robert Sapolsky. And he's a, I want to say, I'm not even going to attempt to tell you what his credentials are. He is a doctor. I can't mm-hmm. remember if he's a PhD or an MD.
Mm-hmm.
I know he's at Stanford, but he's written this book about looking at, you know, why animals, which as humans, we are animals, people, just as a reminder, why animals don't tend to get these stress-related diseases that we are seeing more and more commonly in our population. And he's talking about just what I was referring to, the sympathetic state, the parasympathetic state, how we're getting more and more stuck in kind of a sympathetic state all the time, and how that impacts our health in the short and in the long term. So, like I said, I haven't read it myself yet, but mm-hmm. it's something that I've picked that book up many times and read the, you know, the introduction and the cover, and I've read a little bit about his work, and I think it's could be really interesting for people to get a little more in-depth explanation if they're interested.
Yes, and it sounds like a great idea. And so you mentioned the statement stress reduction
mm-hmm.
and. You know, how about some advice on stress reduction? what
sure.
kind of ideas would you have? And just to reiterate that, like you said, I think in this whole country, we tend to be a stressed people.
Yes.
And and the outcome, and it's, like you said, it's the amount of stress and the ongoingness of the stress that's the problem on our health and our psyche and mental and physical health. So how can we help that? What can we do?
Sure. So some there's actually all kinds of things that can be done. One of the kind of most common things that you hear about is exercise, which I want to actually, I'll do a little side note on exercise for a moment here while I'm mentioning this. So exercise, great for stress management, also really important for pretty much all of your health. I mean, I can't even think of an area that it doesn't impact your health. But bringing stress levels down is one of them. So the recommendations from the American Heart and also the American Diabetes Association, both of them recommend 150 minutes a week of exercise.
150 minutes
yes,
a week.
Uh-huh. Of moderate exercise. So this means, you know, cardiovascular exercise, basically, you know, it can be running, walking, jogging, you know, dancing, swimming, basically where you're getting your heart rate up. And what that means, you don't have to necessarily check your heart rate, but knowing that you're working yourself up to the point where you could talk to somebody while you're at this level of exercise, but you couldn't sing.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the kind of the little guideline is for to know if you're at moderate exercise.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, this will help so many areas of your health, but it's also really great for stress reduction and for mood and anxiety. So, and I'll maybe touch on other areas of exercise in a little bit later. I know we need to take a break coming up here.
Yeah, we do. Before we do, it made me think of... just to elaborate or to expand on the exercise issue again and or more and say things like using your bicycle to go to work or to school, you know, having a bicycle in your life, having walking to work, walking to the store, taking the stairs instead of the elevator.
Right. Thank you for pointing that out.
Parking further away from the store, not right up to the door of the store, to walk, walking in the evening, walking your dog, walking with your partner, all kinds of body activity throughout your life.
That's the thing, really, is these are that recommendation I gave. I mean, that's kind of the goal.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's true, just living an active lifestyle, I mean...
it's beneficial.
It's hugely beneficial. And for some people, that means doing more than that, you know, recommendation.
Oh, yeah.
And for some people, it means, you know, working their way up to that. And that's
right.
Great.
Working their way up to that.
You know, making any step that you can towards enhancing that in your life, I think is huge. Yeah, I would agree.
Great. Let's take a little break and come back and hear more momentarily. You're listening to FM 90.1 KZFR Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. This is Dr. Ken Logan and the Doctor's Inn. Don't forget, towards the end of this show, we're going to be speaking with Dr. Mark Lundberg from Butte County Health Department. He's the medical director, our county health officer, and he will be giving us a community health update. Right now, we have Dr. Elizabeth Zemecki, a naturopathic doctor, giving us some tips to help us with our health.
Hello, thank you. So before the break, we were talking a bit about exercise, and I wanted to add just one or two last things about that before we go delving into stress management and stress reduction a little further. The thing that I want to impart to listeners that I always have to remind myself as well is that when it comes to exercise, it's really about finding what you enjoy doing. And that's, you know, a lot of times it's challenging prioritizing exercise in terms of time, because of, like we talked about earlier, all that busy lifestyle that many people are leading these days. You know, finding what it is you love or what you enjoy, at least, or what will get you out of bed in the morning or get you taking that break in the middle of your workday to go do, you know, whatever it is that inspires you, that's probably your best exercise.
And the thing that you think you will be able to continue.
And that, yes. Sustainability is huge.
I know we all see people, in me included, exercise for a while and then stop doing it.
Sure.
Got to do something you can fit into your schedule and keep it there, and something you is sure. Convenient, et cetera.
And sometimes that changes over time,
yeah.
You know, or seasonally,
mm-hmm.
or, you know.
Or with age, yeah, absolutely.
All of those things. So I just always like to encourage people to think outside the box in terms of, you know, oh, well, maybe somebody doesn't like running, and that's mm-hmm. probably fine. It's kind of rough on the knees anyways.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but there's not a finite number of things that you can do to get your body moving, to get your heart rate up, to really improve your strength and your flexibility.
Many things. And don't forget, if you're depending on your age and your health, talking with your healthcare provider may or may not be a good idea, depending on your health. And your healthcare provider may be able to give you some tips,
sure.
As well.
Yes. And if people have been inactive, you know, a really good place to start is walking.
Great idea.
You know, 10 minutes after meals
mm-hmm.
Actually has been shown to reduce, I'm trying to remember if it's fasting blood sugar or if it was, I think it was fasting blood mm-hmm. sugar levels mm-hmm. can go down with just 10-minute walks after every mm-hmm. meal, so three times a day. And that's mm-hmm. how you can get your 30 minutes in
oh,
daily,
wow.
five times a week.
Wow.
And then you've hit your goals for those American Diabetes and Heart Association recommendations
wow.
I mentioned earlier. So
great.
That's a simple way, you know, to be getting exercise
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
a pretty safe way to start out.
Mm-hmm.
Gradual, you know, increase in intensity and frequency of exercise over time, if you haven't been active, is mm-hmm. definitely the way to go, as well, like you said, as mm-hmm. consulting with your provider.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing, the last piece about exercise is strength training and flexibility and maintaining mobility of joints and ligaments and muscles. So, you know, strength training can be done a number of ways. Sure, lifting weights is one way, but anything where you're doing resistance against your own body weight, yoga and Pilates are probably two of the most common forms of achieving that. Those are great ways of, you know, strengthening your muscles, strengthening your core. People hear about that. That means the kind of the core of your torso, so your abdominal muscles, your pelvic floor, really, really beneficial for health long term, as well as the short term.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, and can be helpful in reducing back pain if there's no other specific cause of the back pain,
mm-hmm.
Meaning, you know, no herniated discs or anything like that.
Right. And again, talking with your provider if
yes.
you need to. And then, you know, I was just maybe thinking of things like yoga or and those kind of exercises. There are yoga classes. There are instructors. There are videotapes.
Mm-hmm.
You can
online YouTube videos
Video. You can do them in the. You can do all this at home in your privacy of your own home at your convenience, whether it's raining or not, and go little by little.
Indeed.
Start slow and. Little and build it over time.
Yes.
Yeah. And
yes.
Persistence is a key, regularness.
Indeed. And I think the thing is that really not comparing yourself with others.
Oh, great. Great, you know, comment.
With what you can do and with what your own body's limitations are and really paying attention to that.
Right. Good point.
Yes. It's true in yoga. It's true in swimming. It's true in competitive sports, all of the above. It's mm-hmm. Where are you at?
You're an individual,
yes. And the nice thing, since we were talking about yoga, that can tie into more about the stress management piece.
Oh,
so
uh-huh.
Breathing exercises is something that's often emphasized in yoga. And there's a lot of research showing breath work can be really beneficial for reducing stress. I don't think that's the only reason that yoga can be helpful for stress. So the exercise is a component there. And, you know, for some types of yoga, there's a spiritual component involved, which is also really significant for decreasing stress and improving overall health, quality of life, and well-being. So it's a very kind of powerful tool, yoga. And there's lots of different styles. Available for different kind of interest levels for different people. So there's some that are more focused on strengthening, some on stretching, some on, you know, have more of an emphasis on the breathing and meditation components. So there's lots of options out there if that's something that you're curious about.
That's a very good point. Different types of yoga too.
Mm-hmm.
And that can fit the individual.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Some other things for stress reduction. You know, essential oils I find really useful, not only for stress reduction, they're great for supporting immune function and mood in some cases also. You know, there's probably more research, I believe, about lavender essential oil than I believe any other type. And lavender is a great kind of all-purpose essential oil. It's very... very safe, generally speaking, and it can be used to not only calm people down in terms of anxiety, but there's also research that shows that while it's calming people, it's actually enhancing their focus at the same time. And I think one of the studies I read about this just was utilizing, I think, a drop or two of the lavender essential oil on, you know, like a tissue or a handkerchief that someone kept in their pocket.
Hmm.
While they were doing schoolwork or preparing for a test or something like that. So, you know, it's also a great oil to have on hand for burns and wound healing. It's pretty soothing oil and useful for a lot of purposes. The thing with essential oils, they are a plant medicine. They are safe if used carefully and kind of according to instructions. Some of them have the potential for more toxicity than lavender does. But what I would say is this, essential oils are very concentrated forms of plant medicine. So they are not to be, they're definitely to be used as directed. There is potential for harm there. And I do like to remind people of that even with natural medicine, just because it's natural doesn't mean it's safe. And there are natural medicines that are safe. Most of them are safe if used in the appropriate doses, but there is potential for harm if not used in appropriate doses. So, you know, if you're dabbling into this kind of area and you're wanting to use essential oils on your own, I encourage you to do some research around it, find some reputable books. Be mindful about these things. But, you know, just a little drop or two of essential oil on your, you know, pillowcase at night can help people sleep. I've seen practitioners put, you know, take a tiny, tiny little glass bottle with a cotton ball in it and just drop a drop or two of lavender oil into that. And, you know, just carry that around with them, and then they just smell that occasionally when they feel a little worked up. Yeah, so some ideas around there. And then I guess the other big thing with stress management is, you know, spending time in nature, as well as spending time with people that support you and that you have nurturing relationships with. I mean, this is important for more than just stress reduction, but, you know, I think these are huge for helping people to manage their day-to-day. You know, and there is kind of, along with the rest of our modern lifestyle we've been talking about today that's so hectic and busy and people working a lot and chronically stressed, there's also a lack of community, a lack of time in community, and a lack of time in nature. And these are things that are really integral to our health. You know, having supportive relationships and having kind of an active social life, and that can mean many different things. But it's been shown to improve overall health and, I believe, mortality rates, if I'm not mistaken, just in populations that have been studied regarding this. So, you know, being isolated and not, you know, having relationships with people, you know, of some kind or another, can really be detrimental to the psyche and to the overall, and to, you know, the physical health as well. So I really like to remind people to nurture the relationships that matter to them. It's something we don't do enough of today.
And then spend time in nature, such as on the walk.
Such as on the walk,
in Bidwell Park.
In Bidwell Park. We have such a great resource here with Bidwell Park, both Upper and Lower Park, that, I hope people take advantage of. And, you know, in, sometimes we talk about vitamin N in naturopathic medicine being, you know, having your time in nature, basically.
Vitamin N for nature.
Vitamin N for nature, that it provides a lot of benefits. We're starting to understand some, there's some research that showed that, you know, actually walking in the forest can improve your immune function. The idea is that the phytochemicals being produced by the trees, by the foliage, are enhancing your immune function and your immune cells. And this is, I mean, these are some of the same compounds that you would see in essential oils from some of those trees. You know, it kind of works similarly to enhance our immune function. So we know that that's one benefit that we're seeing clearly from being in nature. But beyond that, I think even what we don't know in terms of science, there's a sense of well-being that people obtain from that time out in nature. I mean, we are, as I mentioned earlier, we're animals. You know, we forget that. We think we're separate or different. But really, I mean, we are from and of the earth just as much as any plant or animal is. And when we disconnect ourselves from it in buildings and with artificial lighting, eating our processed food and rushing around in cars all day long, it's easy to forget and easy to kind of lose that connection. And I don't think it's something we can completely explain at this point, really, as to why it has the positive effect on us that, I mean, most people can tell you if they
and
go
we
out.
Evolved there.
We did.
Yeah,
yes.
We didn't evolve in a cement place with just four square walls and windows. We evolved in nature. So I think it makes sense that those aspects are beneficial to us. That's how we got to be where we are now. And yeah, it makes sense that it would be healthy.
Yeah. It does. Sometimes we have to go on the logic of things if we don't have the science to explain it thus far.
Yes.
But you know, most people can say, oh yeah, if I do go take a walk out in nature, if I go camping or whatever it is, that when people do take the time to spend time in nature, it makes a difference.
They get rejuvenated.
They do.
Yeah.
They do.
Makes sense.
Mm-hmm. I guess the other thing that I wanted to kind of touch on that comes out of that is, you know, having a some sort of sense of connection. It can be to nature, but also, you know, if people are so inclined, having a religious or spiritual practice or tradition that they follow, there's a lot of research that shows that that improves health overall. And, you know, religion and spirituality are not for everyone, but for some people that is just a sense of connection to nature. Mm-hmm. And that's their spirituality. That's their sense of something greater. It's this mm-hmm. idea of something bigger than us mm-hmm. That seems to kind of put things in perspective for mm-hmm. people a mm-hmm. lot, which can also, you know, help with the stress. You know,
I was thinking the same thing. It may help with stress.
Yes. Uh-huh. So often there's, not in all cases, but often there's a community that mm-hmm. that comes with this as well. So mm-hmm. so this is another kind of a foundation that I think of for people, you know. And I, like I said, it doesn't have to be religion, doesn't have to be a spiritual practice or tradition, but just at least going out in nature and recognizing the grandness of it all, and that, you know, when the problems that you experience seem quite large, it can help put things in perspective.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So just wanted to put that out there too.
Very good. Very good.
I think the another thing that I wanted to touch on is sleep. Also really great for stress reduction. Not to mention just health overall. Mm-hmm. So
We need that.
Sleep is our regeneration and our healing time. And if we don't give our bodies that time, then, you know, we're basically, well, yeah, we're not giving ourselves the opportunity to heal, you know, to get rid of those cancer cells as well that we were talking about earlier, the ones that we all, you know, we all develop as just part of being alive. But it's our time for tissue repair, tissue healing. It's also our time for converting short-term memory into long-term memory, so really important for cognition for all of you students out there. I wish I had listened more to my father when I was growing up and in school for many, many years. So, you know, I understand very well the challenges sometimes involved with sleep, lack of sleep. It's one of those things that, you know, I have people that come and say, oh, no, I do fine on 6 hours of sleep. I can function just fine. And then I say, well, but didn't you just tell me that you wake up and you're exhausted? You don't feel rested when you wake up in the morning? And then they say, well, yeah, but I can still function through the day. And sure, maybe that person is functioning. Maybe they're getting by, but that doesn't mean that they are, you know, at their kind of optimal level of health. Doesn't mean that they, you know, aren't creating kind of more challenges, if you will, for their body to heal with any chronic issues that they're dealing with, not to mention any acute injuries or illness. Sleep is really critical. And like I said, I had somebody, two people actually, both my parents, but especially my dad, always kind of reminding me, but the doctors say you need 8 to 9 hours of sleep a night. And I would say, yeah. And so I understand that it's difficult to kind of fit it in. There's a lot of people who, you know, are more awake at night than they are mm-hmm. in the morning. Mm-hmm. That gets into some kind of other more specific issues that would need to be kind of addressed in a one-on-one relationship. Yeah.
Right.
But I can say that to the best of people's ability to try and get 8 to 9 hours of sleep, it's really what most people do need. People might be able to function on less, but that doesn't mean that they're doing well on less.
For optimal health?
It's a
necessary ingredient.
Yes. And there's a lot of information about sleep deprivation, like chronic sleep deprivation. So basically getting less than this 8 to 9 hours. And, you know, maybe 7's okay. But for people getting 6 hours and less on an ongoing basis, there's, yeah, evidence that this impacts cardiovascular health long term, as well as hormone balance, you know, amongst many other things. There's a lot of research that's continuing in this kind of arena to look at how does chronic sleep deprivation really affect people. If I'm remembering correctly, I think, you know, fertility levels, diabetes, and a number of other things. There will be consequences, yes. Yeah. So, I think it's an important thing for people to really tend to. And if they are having a trouble with this and needing help around it, I do encourage folks to contact their health care provider or obtain one if they don't have one to work on this, because it's a really big factor in health in the short and in the long term.
Speaking of contacting your health care provider, you are in practice here in Chico, is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And if someone, if a listener wanted to contact you, and how would they do that?
Oh, certainly. They are welcome to call the office. Let's see here. The phone number is 530-332-9355. We're located at 1351. Yes, I'm going to say it Esplanade. Sorry, it's my Latin language background. I know I'll probably start saying Esplanade one of these days.
There you go. That's the word I know.
But I just can't bring myself to quite
but
yet.
But I say almond also. My wife says almond or
yes.
Almond,
yes,
yeah. I don't know what an almond is.
Yeah, I know. A lot of people feel that way around here.
So your phone number, and is it Chico Naturopathic Medicine?
That's correct, yes.
Chico Naturopathic Medicine, 332-9355. Dr. Zemecki, thank you very much for talking with us today, and I hope to have you back on the show in the future.
I would love that. It's been my pleasure to be here. It's wonderful to speak with you and to share with listeners.
Excellent.
Enjoy it.
Now, a community health update from Dr. Mark Lundberg, our Butte County Health Officer. Dr. Lundberg.
Dr. Logan, nice to hear your voice.
Good to hear your voice. Thanks for joining us.
Dr. Logan, I'm always looking for foods to add to my list for good eating, and I've got some new ones to add to my whole food list.
Great.
And that would be bagels and donuts.
Do they
call qualifies whole foods?
Is there a ceiling over you, or are you outside where a bolt of lightning is going to strike you?
Oh, yeah, don't. You know, it's great to hear your naturopath there, Dr. Zemecki. I wanted to mention to you, to your listeners, that there's a really great community health assessment that was done with a partnership called Together We Can, Healthy Living in Butte County.
Mm-hmm.
And that partnership identified assets as one of its goals, and they mentioned that alternative medicine providers are an asset in Butte County.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you found that to be the case with Dr. Zemecki.
There you go.
You know, I wanted to say to your listeners that this CHA, this community health assessment, it's on the webpage, and if your listeners want to see what kind of data they collected about the health of Butte County, they can go to the website, Together We Can, Healthy Living in Butte County. And there's just a few, if you have a little time, I'm just going to mention a few things that were found in that community health assessment is done just recently.
Okay.
Well, some of those, you know, the community identified areas of substance abuse as one of the big areas to deal with. There's been a lot of drug-induced deaths in Butte County, and there's tobacco use, and there's the use of the ER by drug-exposed citizens.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a lot of focus on this CHA, Community Health Assessment, on alcohol and drug abuse. Also, there's a lot of issues around homelessness and about socioeconomic status. You know, poverty relates to so many health conditions, so there's a lot around that. And then there's a lot around chronic diseases, and that chronic diseases are overrepresented in Butte County. And so this CHA, this community health assessment, really summarized that they want to deal with in Butte County, trying to improve issues of substance abuse, chronic disease, and socioeconomic issues. And so
For people who have internet access, tell me again that web. How would they find that web page?
Well, you would just. It would be very easy by just searching on "Together We Can Healthy Living in Butte County."
Together We Can Healthy Living in Butte County.
Sometime I like to go into a little more depth about that, including the improvement plans, the specifics of what we're trying to shoot for in Butte County to improve the health of Butte County.
Would you ever consider coming on this very radio show to do that, Dr. Lundberg?
That'd be great. I think that your listeners would like to hear what kind of improvements this group of over 100 agencies kind of came up with some ideas. So I think it'd be very interesting for them.
Thank you very much for that information, Dr. Lundberg, and I'll talk to you about coming on the show to talk more about that.
Very good.
Thank you. Good to hear from you.
Nice to hear from you, too.
And thank you. Thank you. Bye-bye. Thank you, Dr. Zemecki, for being with us today, and thanks to Ray Lager, the engineer for this show. Listen again the third Thursday of each month, 6 o'clock, for the Doctor's Inn. The Doctor's Inn is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR members and by Ebony and Ivory, presenting a special finale dinner and concert with Dr. Robert Bowman, accompanied by Michael Pelwitz on Friday, October 23rd. The evening begins at 5:30 with appetizers and dinner at 6:30. Concert to follow. Tickets at Diamond W and at Chico Women Club, ChicoWomen'sClub.org. Proceeds for this event will aid in the restoration of the Women's Club Steinway piano. And by the Chico News and Review, providing Northern California with news, commentary, and entertainment. The Chico News and Review is available for free every Thursday at over 600 locations throughout Butte, Glynn, and Tehama counties. They can also be found online at newsreview.com. The opinions voiced on this show do not necessarily represent the views or opinions of KZFR, its staff, board of directors, underwriters, or volunteers. Stay tuned for a children's show that I'm not exact. What is it? Beatlemania. Stay tuned for Beatlemania. And see you next month.
I don't need no doctor, because I know what's ailing me. I don't need no doctor, because I know. Prescription to be filled.
I don't need no doctor. I don't need no doctor.
I don't need no doctor, Lord. Or prescription to be filled.
I don't need no doctor. I don't need no doctor.
Oh, only my baby's arms. A good